John Radcliffe, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the whole interview with Chris Wallace. I was astounded how detached he is from reality. If I didn't think he was so intelligent, I would think he's naive. Where do you fall?
Hey, Brian. Great to be with you. Yeah, I did get a chance to watch it. You know, it's funny. It was like listening to Jim Comey admit he was wrong. It was like he was saying, well, I was wrong about it being Tuesday when it's, you know, really Monday. I mean, you know, you were wrong. An American civil liberties and Carter Page were violated, and you were just wrong. The FBI was tampering with evidence on your watch to falsely continue a counterintelligence investigation against the president, and you're wrong about procedures. I mean, it's amazing that his inability to admit that he really is responsible for what is the FBI's biggest failure. Brian, you know, based on my prior career in the Department of Justice, working closely with the FBI, it's like when Devin Nunes tweeted out there was spying going on before FISA, you know, my response was, unfortunately, we were right. We knew it from looking at those applications. And the other part about this, Brian, is everyone else that looked at those applications knew it too. Jim Comey knew it. Adam Schiff knew it. There's a reason that when Trey Gowdy and I had access to those FISA applications, we sat in that room and we looked at one another and thought, this can't possibly be right. Anyone, you know, looking at this honestly had to come to those same conclusions. So, you know, he's feigning surprise at this point in time. But he knew it, and Adam Schiff knew it, and we knew all along that there was FISA abuse. Unfortunately, we were right.
All right, so on the dossier, the famous dossier, now we look at it in the Horowitz report, they're even harder on it than you are. They say that they're single sources, that Christopher Steele had a reputation for embellishing and also following leads that nobody else saw. And he hadn't been to Russia in 20 years. He hadn't seen any of his sources. And his subsource came out and said it was inaccurately portrayed. I did not even know all that. Having said that, here's James Comey talking about the need for the dossier when it comes to getting a FISA warrant to launch this whole investigation. Cut five.
My recollection was it was part of a broader mosaic of facts that were laid before the FISA judge to obtain a FISA warrant.
And we concluded that the Steele reporting played a central and essential role in the decision to seek a FISA order.
So first, I'll let you comment before I roll what Chris Wallace said. What is your comment on that? It's Horowitz, appointed by Barack Obama, who came to that conclusion after about a year of investigation. Thoughts?
So I hit replay. What did Trey Gowdy and I say after we had access to those FISA applications? We both came out and said, The dossier was what they led with. It was the central part of it. It was the most important part. It's the first thing they told the court about. And you'll recall that Adam Schiff came out and said, no, that's not true. It's not part of it. And you hear Jim Comey talk about part of a broader mosaic. No. Again, I go back to the fact that if in the case of Adam Schiff's, you know, I know that Adam Schiff looked at the applications. Maybe Jim Comey just signed off on these things without looking at them, which would be almost as damning as looking at them and ignoring what's in there, given the stakes of what we're talking about. Again, have to remember the unprecedented issue of spying a presidential campaign. So it's just shocking.
In fact, he says, if it hadn't been for the Steele dossier, the FBI probably wouldn't have even submitted a FISA application that had been reviewed in April of 2016, or August, rather, of 2016. They decided not to do it. They get the Steele dossier. They do it. It wasn't part of a broader mosaic. That's what you said, sir.
I'm not sure he and I are saying different things. What his report says is that the FBI thought it was a close call until they got the Steele report, put that additional information in, and that tipped it over to be probable cause. It's a long FISA application that includes Steele material and lots of other material. I don't think we're saying different things.
Well, I think you are, sir, because he's saying, you're saying it's part of a broader mosaic. It's just one element. He's saying it was the tipping point. It's what brought it over. That doesn't make it part of a broader mosaic. It makes it the centerpiece of the whole FISA application and the ability to surveil Carter Page.
Yeah, I don't understand him to be saying that.
I'm smashing my head again. I'm on a plane, smashing my head against the screen. I could not believe what I was hearing. What's your reaction to that,
Brian? The broader mosaic that he's talking about was the circular reporting that they were putting out there. In other words, they were leaking information about the dossier so that there would be articles written, in Mother Jones and other things that would then be in Yahoo, Michael Isikoff, all of that stuff, so that it could be included as other information, all of which was circular based upon this dossier that was never grounded in fact. It was always opposition research. And, you know, that's where, you know, I do give Michael Horowitz credit for the findings of fact in here. And the fact is, if you take the time to look at this, it's just, unfortunately, just an incredible indictment of how the FBI folks at the FBI were able to weaponize the FISA process to continue in a counterintelligence investigation against the president that, not have been taking place. There was no probable cause.
Yeah, Congressman Ratcliffe, before I move on, I just got to talk about impeachment, but I want you to respond to Adam Schiff, who says something that is a blatant untruth. Cut 30.
Oh, I'm certainly willing to admit that the Inspector General found serious abuses of FISA that I was unaware of. Had I known of them, Chris, yes, I would have called out the FBI at the same time. But I think it's only fair to judge what we knew at the time, not what would be revealed 2 years later.
Your witness.
Shocking. Adam Schiff says things that are false. Here's what Adam Schiff, like myself, had the opportunity to go in and look at these FISA applications. I knew at the time he put out his memo correcting the record that, in fact, he was not being truthful. The second line of his memo says the FBI and the Department of Justice did not abuse FISA. That's false. He said it did not omit relevant material. That's false. He said it did not was not used to spy on the Trump campaign. That's false. He said the dossier was not a major part of the FISA application. That's all false. Everything that he said was false. And in this case, Brian, he knew it. He knew it when he wrote it. I knew it when he wrote it. The only thing that saves him here is he wasn't testifying under oath. This is just something that he put out there. But the same guy that put information out there about conspiracy and collusion with Russia, you know, did it intentionally. His FISA memo is just false from top to bottom. And that's the guy that Democrats put in charge of this impeachment hoax on Ukraine. They placed all the credibility in a guy that has no credibility, who, as it turns out, got caught meeting with the whistleblower to start this whole thing. I think Democrats are going to pay a heavy political price at the end because they've wrapped it all around a guy named Adam Schiff who has no credibility.
I think I've been to 14 cities since October 28th, including your Waco, Wichita Falls, San Antonio, and then yesterday Woodlands in Texas. I'm not seeing that whole blue wave in Texas, but I also had a chance to go to Orlando, go to the Villages, go to Jacksonville, go to Raleigh, three different cities in Virginia, and then yesterday also go to Atlanta, two different stops. I get people who are riled up about impeachment not converted. How do you explain the Fox poll that says 50% of the country want the president impeached?
Yeah, I can't. I don't think it's with due respect to Fox. They've had other polls out that seem inconsistent with what other polls show. And very clearly, none of that makes sense when you look at poll after poll after poll in battleground states about what Trump's numbers have done throughout this impeachment process. So, you know, I really can't explain that. What I can tell you is, I mean, I do think it depends on where you're polling. Coastally, you know, West Coast and East Coast, it's so anti-Trump. But, you know, across America, you know, again, talking about the, you know, a lot of the battleground states in particular, the Wisconsins and the Michigans and the Minnesotas and certainly, you know, in Texas, I wouldn't put in as a battleground state, but you know, anecdotally, Trump's got more support than he did, 4 years ago. And, you know, I think that's going to be reflected as we, you know, as we roll towards this election. I mean, at the beginning of your show, Brian, you talked about, you know, what's happening in the Democratic Party and can they keep them together? They can't even keep them in their own party. I mean, Jeff Van Drew is switching parties over this.
Is he for sure? I know he lost five staffers on the premise of him leaving. Do you think he's leaving?
Yeah, I do. I think he's leaving. You know, to Jeff, I'd say, welcome back to America. You know, like the rest of America, I think what's happening, Brian, is there are a lot of folks see the once respected Democratic Party drifting into European socialism, socialized medicine programs, condemnation of free enterprise and capital markets. And now this literally this deranged obsession with impeachment that started, you know, on the election night right. sob fest with Hillary Clinton. And it's just continued for the last 3 years.
So a couple of things. In terms of defections, we expected Jeff Van Drew of New Jersey not to, and the Michigan congressman not to go along after all, they didn't support the inquiry. Why would they support the impeachment? No minds have been changed. What number do you think, if you were to make a prediction, what number do you think will defect?
I think somewhere between 6 and 10. I'll be surprised if it's less than 6. If they get close to 10 double digits, it's just, I mean, there's no way the Democrats will be able to message that. Now, I do think that, you know, Nancy Pelosi will use everything she can to try and close ranks on this. It's why we're voting on USMCA this week. I know that there are some Democrats that said, look, I'm not going to take your word for it. You want me to support this? Put USMCA on the floor at the same time, as opposed to the original Democratic strategy was to take up USMCA after the first of the year, after impeachment. You know, they wanted to say, well, we got impeachment done and now we're moving on to USMCA. They had to change that to they're making promises to keep their gotcha. People in line.
Will you vote for USMCA?
I will. It's most importantly, it's great for my constituents here in Texas.
Okay.
You'll have overwhelming support, you know, you'll have overwhelming support on both sides. I mean, are there, can we all find issues with any trade deal? Of course we can, but by and large, Trump is winning on trade, something that the Democrats hate. And, you know, he's, he's done a really terrific job.
Well, thanks so much, Congressman. It's been very interesting watching you, Jim Jordan. Congressman Johnson, I didn't know much about it. I think he's been very strong. Just to see, I've never seen people so conversant about various topics. I mean, it's like you all, Jim Jordan should have went to law school. He seems like a lawyer. He obviously is a natural.
Jim actually has a law degree. He just didn't take the bar. He's trained as a lawyer, but... you know, the funny thing I would say, Brian, is, you know, the Democrats have managed to do something that no one else could. And you watch someone like, you know, Elise Stefanik, who is, you know, one of
very
our more
impressive.
Moderate members
yeah.
in the Tuesday group. And, you know, Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and the Freedom Caucus, from end to end of the Republican spectrum, all united around the fact that this was blatantly, perversely unfair. And that's why there was such a right. devoted effort on behalf of Republicans. We know this is wrong. Mm. It's bad for America, and the Democrats are doing it anyway.
Right. President's got to tighten up his work there in the White House to make things a little bit easier for you, but it's not impeachable. John Ratcliffe out of Texas. Congressman, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
You bet. Always great to be with you, Brian. Thanks for having me.
You got it, sir. When we come back, your turn. 1-866-408-7669. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Newsmakers and newsbreakers, hear it first, only on the Brian Kilmeade Show.